I'm going to take a moment again to welcome everyone. Welcome to all of you on Facebook and in YouTube and tuning in. It is amazing to share the gospel with you today. It is amazing to share God's word. I'm privileged to be here. My husband sends greetings for those of you who might not know yet. He was in a hit and run bicycle accident on Friday morning. He is okay. He is recovering. He experienced a broken collarbone. And it is fixed. He's been in surgery. He's out of surgery. And he will be on his way home today to the glory of God because he is strong and God has been with him and has protected him. And we have a living testimony as a family of the goodness of God. We have experienced it this weekend. And he sends lots of love and he will be seeing you on Friday because he will be on this stage and he will be preaching and he will be teaching and he will be able to share his testimony with you as well as proclaiming the goodness of God. Because we know that all things work to the good of those who love the Lord. And what the devil tries to harm us with, God turns it around. Let's give him some praise this morning. Because God is turning around your situations too. And as we heard this morning by the power of testimony with Tani Marita, if God can do it for Tani Marita, he will do it for you. What God did for us, he will do for you. And as you looked around this auditorium this morning, what God has done for others, he will do for you. And we trust for that right now in this place. Amen. Because it is by his sheer grace that we are here today. It is by his love, it is by his grace, it is by the love and grace of Jesus that each and every one of us are here today. You are not a mistake, you are not a by the way, you are not an accident. There is no you could have, should have, maybe not have been here. You have been purposed for such a time as this. God knit you together for his plans, his purposes, and his destiny for your life. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And you might be finding yourself in a situation where you don't really feel like your story is for his glory right now. But I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you find yourself, your story is to be used for the glory of God because you are a living testimony of his favor, of his breakthrough, of his provision, his healing, and his hand upon your life. So this morning, as we are just going to be focusing on the sheer grace of God, I want to take you to a story that I'm sure many of you know really, really well. And this is in Luke 15, from verse 11 onwards. Then he said, a certain man, so this is Jesus, is telling his disciples a story. He's teaching a parable. And Jesus says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. So this son says to his father, Dad, I want my inheritance. And the dad says, okay. And he divides his estate and he gives his son his portion. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So he didn't invest, he spent it all, and he had an amazing time until there was nothing left. We've all been there, done that, hey? But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land and he began to be in want. So then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. You see, many times when we read the Bible, we think, oh gosh, it's just rules and regulations, and I should this and shouldn't that and the whole thing. But actually, no. You see, when you live your life as a kingdom kid, when you apply God's principles, it does not bind you, it actually sets you free. It does not keep you stuck, it actually takes you out of the place that you are stuck and it actually sets your feet on solid ground because there's provision and there's a source and the source is the Father because the word Father means source. Because God is meant to be your source. God is meant to be the one to provide for you, to take care of you, to take you and to look out for you. Because I can promise you, in this father's house, there were stores. He had thought about the day of tomorrow, but this young son took himself away from his father's house to a foreign land, a different way. And how many of you can agree with me today that you at the moment are living in a foreign land? We are in a world and we are not of this world because we are set apart as his children. There are systems and economies and things that are not of God's kingdom, but yet we are affected by them. But I want to encourage you, church, when you come into relationship with God, when you know who you are, and when you apply the word of God in your life, you will see that you are part of a kingdom citizenship. A kingdom where the Father will take care of you despite what you see around you. I read something very, very cute this week. It said that when you're 20 years old, you're technically a 2-year-old adult. If you're 25, you're technically a 7-year-old adult. So I'm not sure where he was, but he was definitely acting like a child. But we've all been there. We've all made bad decisions. We've all had bad attitudes. We've all made mistakes. Amen? Do you know that God loves you through that bad attitude, through those mistakes, through those bad decisions? He loves you through them all. You could have fought with your wife, your spouse, your whoever, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, just getting to church this morning. I'm not going to make eye contact. If that's you, you're normal. It happens. Who knows that sometimes getting little kids into the car can be a little stressful? Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily come to church all patient and poised and perfect. We often come here, we've just made it in time to find our seats before the first praise and worship song. Amen? And you might have had some words in the car. Mm-hmm. And then you come to worship and the first thing that the devil throws at you is like, how can you worship God when you've just said this and this and this and this? Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you know that God loves you even though you've said this and this and this and this? Do you know that God says, I died for you even though you've done this and this and this and this? He takes it one further. He says, I love you and I've died for you even though you're going to still do this and this and this and this. Because his grace is sufficient for you. It was sufficient for you yesterday. It is sufficient for you right now in this moment. And it is sufficient for you tomorrow. Because there is no height nor depth that can keep you away from the love of God. And God is speaking to us this morning because he's saying, I want you to have relationship with me. And I shared this story in the first service and I want to share it with you today. I heard the most beautiful story of a pastor. Someone knocked on his door and it was a young woman who was saying, sir, I hear that you're a pastor. My father is on his deathbed, but my own pastor has not had time to come and pray with him. Do you have time to just come and pray with my dad? And this pastor was immediately, well, give me 10 minutes and I'm coming. And off he went. And as he walks into this bedroom, he sees the gentleman, this lovely girl's father on the bed. And next to him is a chair. And he's like, oh, you've been expecting me. And there's a bit of an awkward moment because the dad says to him, no, I wasn't expecting you. And the pastor says, well, sorry, I just assumed because there's a chair that you were expecting me, but your daughter's invited me to come and just spend some time with you, to pray with you. And they begin to chat. And this father explains to the pastor. He says, sir, for many years, I've never known how to pray. And years ago, I reached out to my own pastor and he gave me a book on prayer. And he says the book was great, but within the first chapter, I needed to look up 11 words in the dictionary. So a week later, I just gave it back to my pastor. I didn't learn anything. And so I'd given up on the idea of understanding what prayer is until a few years later, a friend of mine explained, when you speak to Jesus, it is like a conversation. So take an empty chair and put it next to your bed. And imagine you are talking to Jesus and you just have a conversation. And you speak and you just listen and you have a conversation with Jesus. And this father looked into the pastor's eyes and he said, is that okay? Is that all right? And the pastor was overwhelmed and he just said, wow, that sounds quite perfect. Yes. It's as simple as having conversation with Jesus. And the father said he's always been very, very careful because he doesn't want his daughter to think he's crazy. So he always makes sure he has these conversations with Jesus when she's not around. And he says it used to be just minutes, but it's become hours where he'll just speak with Jesus. And so this pastor prayed for him and left. And a week later, the daughter knocked on his door again and she says, "Sir, you know what? That very day, my dad passed away. But before he passed away, he called me into the room. He told me one of his dad jokes and we laughed. And he gave me a kiss and he told me he loves me. And I went out to do the groceries. And when I came home, my dad was gone." She said, "Some very strange thing though, is that when I came home, my dad had put his head on the chair." And this pastor was overwhelmed and he said, "You know what, that is actually quite amazing, because the last thing that this father did was put his head on the lap of Jesus as he passed, as he went into eternity. That was the connection that he had." And it sounds simple, it sounds so, and yet, it sounds so beautiful, and yet I think for many of you it feels strange. But that is the kind of relationship and connection that God wants to have with you. Where if you're driving in your car, you talk to Jesus. You're walking down the aisle, you say, "What must I buy?" You have that relationship with Jesus. You can be cooking in your kitchen or you can be working at the office. But you are talking to Jesus because he is that real. Remember, he's given you his Holy Spirit. It is not having someone different to Jesus. It is like having a carbon copy of Jesus Christ on the earth with you right now. And he is called to come alongside you. He is called. He will go before God himself one day and he will give account. And he will say, "I walked with this son. I walked with this daughter. I was there when they cried. I was there when they were angry. I was there when they messed up. And all the while, I was helping them. Guiding them, assisting them, leading them, taking them by the hand, calling them by their name. I've given them this opportunity, that opportunity." You know, recently, about a month ago, I bought our youngest daughter a new Bible. I've been looking for one for a while. And I found the most gorgeous Bible. It just by happenstance. And we were reading a parable. And what I love about this Bible is they take the Old Testament and the New Testament and they put it together. So when you read about the Ten Commandments, you turn the page and you read about 1 Corinthians 13, where it states, "Love is patient, love is kind." And then it ends off the story with the commandments written on hard stones, but the new commandments written on the soft tablet of your heart. And so they take the whole story of commandments and love and the importance of loving God and loving people, and they put it all together in the Old Testament. It was beautiful. So I'm reading to my daughter, I'm reading to Jocelyn, and we read the story of the fig tree in the garden that hadn't produced any fruit. And how the gardener says to the master, "Just give it one more year. I'll fertilize it. I'll do everything I can. I'll give it extra care, extra water. Let's see if it hasn't produced fruit a year from now." And then it jumps to Galatians and it says that God gives you chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. The Holy Spirit is right here, right now, advocating for you, like, "Lord, let me tend them a little bit more. Let me give them a little bit more this. Let me give them a little bit more hope. Let me give them a little bit more of anything I can give them, so that you can come to the revelation that God is your Father, Jesus Christ is your Savior, and they want to be in relationship with you." We are in this world, but not of this world. So here comes the son. He comes to himself. He has an aha moment. Who of you have had those? Yes, we all have had them. We are so focused. You're so stuck in a situation. And the next thing, you have an aha moment. So when he comes to himself, he says, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and yet I perish of hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.'" And don't we all do this? We come to God with a formula. If I could just think of you, those of you who are irritated and angry with a family member just walking into church, now you need to worship him, and you're like, "Well, you know, even if I'm just like one of the servants, like at least I'm here." God is saying to you today that restoration is on His terms, not yours. And His arms are wide open to welcome you into His presence, to open the eyes of your understanding, because God gets it. He is not stressed or fazed about the fact that you are human. We get freaked out by that, not God. We get upset when people. It upsets us when we see the humanity in each other, when we come across the not so nice parts of people. But people are people, and it took Jesus Christ nailed to a cross to pay for our sins and to purchase our healing and for us to be saved and for those doors to be flung wide. So you have an open heaven over you that you can take hold of at any time. But you need to realize that He is a Father who is waiting for you to run towards you, to clothe you with His righteousness, to welcome you with open arms, to give you the ring of His authority, because that's what the Father did when He saw His Son. He ran to His Son. He didn't wash Him first. He grabbed Him and embraced Him in all of His filth, in all of His sin, in all of His, if you think of the Son, He came ready, He came prepared. He came with His case. He was going to present His case to the Father. He was going to try and advocate for Himself. But you know what? The Son didn't stand a chance. The Son, we could never advocate for ourselves. That's why you have an advocate in heaven. His name is Jesus. And He is advocating for you. So when you mess up and make a mistake, Jesus says, "But Dad." When you make a new mistake, He's like, "Yeah, but Dad, I've made my case. And because they have accepted me as their Lord and Savior, the verdict over this sin is not guilty. The verdict over that decision is not guilty. The verdict over that past experience is not guilty because it's been redeemed. Does that mean I keep making mistakes on purpose? No. But does it mean that by the sheer grace of God, I can stand on this stage today and tell you that He is good and He is kind and He will help you and sustain you and He will be with you? Yes. Why? Because of His grace. It is by His grace. See, I want to encourage you, church. God not only loves me as I am, but He also knows me as I am. And because of this, I don't need to apply spiritual cosmetics. I can just cry out, "Abba, Father." You see, children are our model because they have no claim on heaven. If they are close to God, it is because God is God. It's because it's a free gift. One of the first words, if you look at language, if you look at the child development, one of the first words a child says is "da, dada, da, da, dada." Pa, pa, papa, Abba, Father. You see, the Jewish nation understood, the Israelite nation understood the awesome wonder that is God. The holy God that the priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year and only if he had met all the requirements. Jesus comes and He drops a revelation that was mind-blowing. Abba, Father. As a young child, you approach your Father. You can approach Him. You can get to Him. In the same way that a little two-year-old would not care about any protocol, they would just run straight through any procession, any situation to get to their daddy, to get to their mommy. In the same way, church, you can boldly approach the throne of grace no matter what has happened, no matter where you are, no matter who is watching, no matter who is looking, you have access. You see, so the question is, what is your choice? What will you decide? Will you keep your bucket, your way, your system, the thing that makes sense to you, or will you stay at the well? You see, there was a woman who met Jesus at the well. She was a sinner. She had no reason to be there in the middle of the day, but she could not bear to face her society. She didn't go out with the woman in the morning. She went in the heat of the day. The worst time, the time she knew that she'd be there alone, where there would be no one to sneer at her, no one to look down at her, no one to talk about her. who did she meet but Jesus? And through her meeting the Messiah, through her having an encounter with God, she became the door to a city to be saved. Because she was the one who ran back and told the people about Jesus. That whole town walked out to the well. They walked out to the source and they met with living water. In the same way, Jesus wants to encounter you today. He's saying, I've got more for you than could ever fill a bucket. I want to become a well of living water, streams of living water within you. Because as you encounter Jesus, you become the door for many, many, many people to encounter Jesus. Because you are that living testimony. You are that woman at the well who met with Jesus. We've all been in that space where we were the one that was looked down on. We all need Jesus. You see, relationship with God is not religion-based. It's not about keeping up with rules. It's about having relationship with Him. Because right now, while you are sitting in your seats, you are all hearing the voice of the Father calling you by name. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Jesus says, I knock. Who will answer? The Holy Spirit is busy tending you. He's saying, a little bit more water, a little bit more this, a little bit more that. Turn to Jesus. That's the invitation that's going out right now. You see, the problem with the prodigal son is that he went to a farmer that was in the world system. You need to turn to Jesus. You need to turn to Jesus. Because it is His way, His truth, His light. So the son says, make me a servant. The father says, no, you are my son. And he opens his arms. You see, it is by His mercy that we have been restored to a right relationship with God. It is through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus that we get everything that He has promised us. You see, we're going into Easter. It is a time of family, it is a time of fun, but it is a time to remember what Jesus has done for you. That is why, church, you've got an invitation card. Bring your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your children, your spouse, your friends, extended family. Invite them over. Bring them to church. Give that card to someone this week. Give it to a stranger. Invite someone to church. Come early. Be here. God has got a plan and a purpose. He wants people to meet Him, to be saved, that they can become the doorway for countless others, because it is time for people to come back to Jesus. See, this is the good news. It's the gospel of grace. We are here because of the grace and love and mercy of Jesus. If I think about that word mercy, I'm just reminded of the story. You know, Paul, it's only in two of his letters that he says grace, mercy, and peace. In all the others, he says grace and peace. And you know what's beautiful about that? Here's another, just a side story. Paul didn't do that just for fun. The way to greet the Greeks, the Greeks would greet each other saying, grace to you. In the Greek language, grace to you. To the Jews, they would say, peace, shalom. So when Paul writes in his letters, grace and peace to you, he is greeting everyone. It's like giving everyone a hug. Whether you be a Greek or a Jew or a whoever, I am greeting all of you. But for Timothy and for Titus, he gives the word mercy. Because at that stage, Timothy was the lead head pastor of the biggest church in Ephesus. And at that moment, there was persecution. And the worst trouble, if Timothy had to be arrested, he would have been used as an example. So he knew that if he was caught or arrested by the Romans at that stage, he would have faced something terrible. The poor man was living in fear. His tears were on the letter he had written to Paul, because Paul says, I'm mindful of your tears. That means there had to have been tears on the letter. And at that stage, Timothy is saying, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand. I have lost church members. I have been abandoned by leaders. I am facing possible arrest. I need to still preach the gospel. We are seeing people killed left, right, and center because people were being martyred at that stage. Timothy was up against the worst of the worst of the worst. At that moment, Paul was in prison himself. So even though Timothy felt like nobody understood what he was going through, Paul was like, I got you. I get it. I'm in chains writing back to you. But God turns it to the good. That's where we get the New Testament from. We've got Paul's letters. While he was in chains, he was writing. He was preaching the gospel. While Timothy was facing all of these situations, what does Paul say? Mercy. What does Jesus say? Mercy. It is by His mercy that we have been saved. It is by His grace that we have been saved. It is by His love that is undeniable, that is passionate, that is true, that is never failing, unceasing, never stopping, forever pursuing you and me, and by His mercy that we have been saved. I'm telling you, church, that there is nothing that can keep you from the love of God. And I want to encourage you today that you can come and be restored to the Father. We are not meant to be princes in a pig pen. You are meant to carry the authority that you have in Him outside of these doors, into the streets. You are meant to be the influencer wherever you go. Like I said earlier, you carry the presence. Think of it this way. You love your spouse, you love your family. Do you feel like you love them all the time? No. When your sibling is annoying you, do you feel the love? No. But you love them. In the same way, God's presence is with you even though you don't feel it all the time. His love is with you even though you don't feel it all the time. His mercy is with you even though you might not feel it physically all the time. His grace is upon you even though you might not tangibly feel it all the time. That is where we say, I walk by faith, not by sight. That means, God, I thank you for your grace even though I don't see it, even though I don't feel it. Lord, I thank you for your mercy even though everything is crazy right now. Say, thank you, Lord, for your love. I know that you love me. Even though I feel wretched, I say, thank you, Lord, that it is you that sustains me, that provides for me. It is not by sight, it is by faith. And you start to see the things change. It is a free gift. Matthew 12, verse 18 onwards says, behold, my servant whom I have chosen. This is from, it's quoted in Matthew, it's written in Isaiah by the prophet Isaiah, and it is God speaking about His Son. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. It's God speaking about Jesus. I will put my spirit upon Him, and He will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear His voice in the streets. That means Jesus isn't loud. He comes gently. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoking flax, a smoldering wick like of a candle, He will not quench till He sends forth His justice to victory, and in His name the Gentiles will trust. That's you and me. So no matter where you find yourself, even if you are smoldering like a wick that is about to go out, or a bruised reed, Jesus is not going to break you. He's going to nurse you back till His justice has been served. We need to have that relationship with Jesus where we are like that father who puts His head on the chair. That peace, that trust, that quiet relationship with Him where we're talking to Him. We're understanding that it is Abba Father that is my source. It is He that is calling me by my name. He is the one who removed everything that could keep me out of His presence. And He is calling me in with open arms. Church, this morning I want to encourage you. If that is you today, will you stand with me that we can pray? That we can turn our eyes back to Jesus like a child and realize that it is as easy as sitting in front of an empty chair and having a conversation. God is not far away, He is right here, right now. Will you stand with me, church? Let's pray. Let us pray. I'd like you to close your eyes. And I'd like you to picture Jesus in front of you. How is he looking at you right now? If you think of the stories in the Bible, is he looking at you the way he looked at Mary Magdalene when everyone else wanted to judge her? And he says, no, I love you. My grace is sufficient for you. I forgive you. Is he looking at you the way he looked at the woman at the well, saying, I know about all of this stuff, but I want to give you living water. I want to redeem you. I want to set you free. How is Jesus looking at you this morning, church? Do you see the love in his eyes? Do you see his compassion for you? For a moment, I want you to see that God is opening the eyes of your understanding right now. He is ministering to you right now, where you stand, in a new way that God is revealing himself to you. Just open your hands, lift your hands up to him right now. And I thank you, Lord, that in this moment, you minister to your children right now, that they can see you revealed to them in a new way, that they will see the love, the compassion, the mercy in your eyes, the grace. Lord, that they will see an Abba Father with arms wide open, welcoming them home. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. And church, I just feel led right now with our hands raised and our eyes closed. Is there anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If that is you, I'd like you to just raise your hand. We want to pray with you right now. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want to make an opportunity for you. Please raise your hand. We want to just invite you to the front. We want to pray with you right now. Okay, church, with your eyes closed, let's pray. Just pray after me. Say, Jesus, I need you. If I say with my mouth that I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life, it means that you save me. Right here, right now. So I declare you as Lord and Savior of my life. Today, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you welcome me home with open arms. You forgive me of my sin. You set me free right here, right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me so much that you gave your life for mine. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you, if you prayed that prayer, please come to the front. We want to get your name. We want to reach out to you. We want to phone you. We want to welcome you into this family. So that was you. I want to give you a moment. Please come to the front. Amen. Amen. Welcome. Jesus stops for the one. Amen. And all of heaven rejoices at the one. Jesus left the 99 for the one, the shepherd, the parable. That one is you, that one is me. I am the one that Jesus stopped for. You are the one that Jesus stops for. And I want to encourage you in this week, be the one that stops for someone. Amen. Pastor Stefan. Amen. May you be blessed. We love you. Thank you.